Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcote's North Parish Church. It's good to have your company once again for another half hour of meaningful musings and magnificent music. Now, there is somebody I would like you to meet. He's Paul Coffey. Paul is a remarkable man whom I first got to know at the Saltcote's Ministers Fraternal. No, he's not a minister. He was at the meetings to organise the annual Remembrance Sunday parades, because he is the parade marshal, or the organiser of them. This year is a very special parade, the 100th anniversary of the armistice signed in 1918. Paul is a veteran soldier and has a great passion for all things veteran. For instance, he has started up a local veterans group in Saltcote's. More of that later. So please meet Paul Coffey, the veteran. So welcome, Paul, and thanks for coming today into the 3TFM studio, when I imagine it must be a busy time of the year for you.
Thank you, Reverend. Yes, it is a very busy time of the year. There are a number of projects going on linked to Remembrance, because it is a special year, 2018, 100 years since the armistice was signed. The parade itself is generating a lot of interest. The parade will be on the 11th of the 11th at 11 o'clock. We will have a 2-minute silence. The parade will set off from the Labour Club in Saltcote at 10:30. So I hope I'll see many of you there.
Tell us, Paul, a wee bit about yourself as the veteran. What did you do as military service?
I'm by no means an expert on veterans, but I did my 22 years, 1971 to 1993.
That makes you an expert.
I moved around, I did 18 locations. My trade was electrician Remy, which was new to the army. So wherever I went, I was the only electrician there, or I was in charge of groups of electricians as more were recruited.
Can you just explain Remy for anyone who doesn't know?
Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers. We have some nicknames, I won't go into them. The trade was new. I had served, I actually did 2 years at sea. I never knew the army had boats until I got posted there. We had the highest death and divorce rate for the peacetime unit, because we used to do all the stuff our Navy wouldn't do. Right? But but we kept the totter rum after they lost it, so that wasn't too bad. I served in a few places. I've served at field hospitals. I've served with the Royal Artillery, the Royal Engineers, the Royal Transport Regiments. I actually served with the Parachute Regiment. But a lot of time I did with the Royal Engineers. I did 2.5 years in total in Northern Ireland, and I qualified as an electrician Remy, first aid instructor, cinema projectionist, weapons coach, nuclear, biological and chemical defence instructor, resistance interrogation instructor, all class of vehicles including a tank licence.
And you said you weren't an expert, right? So tell us about your first day in Northern Ireland.
The first day in Northern Ireland was 1977.
Mm-hmm. This was in the height of troubles.
Yes. And you're always working as a team with colleagues. You put your trust in the people around you. They're trained, you're trained. Mm-hmm. So as long as the training takes place, you feel quite secure. Obviously, things happen and you have to move through them and deal with it. I've seen many a soldier, hardened, deal with it in public and then go away and deal with it in private.
Yeah, well, people are like that. Some people are good up front and some people are better quieter behind the scenes.
but it does tend to build a bond amongst, no matter what rank you are, you get a bond that lasts in a lot of cases. And as long as the training kicks in and you let the people have the space they need afterwards to...
And although you finished your term of service, you're still very much a military man in your makeup and in your personality and your mind.
Well, I think the military gives you the determination to succeed. It gives you the determination to look around you to see the teams you need to succeed. And by bolstering everybody on, by keeping the morale high around you, you tend to succeed at whatever you try to do.
Yeah. At this time of the year, especially the 100th anniversary of the armistice, we're thinking a lot about the armed services, and it's hard for people who haven't been in the armed services to know about it. So that's partly why I've invited you, Paul, to give us a wee insight into your mind and thoughts on these things. But we'll intersperse it with some music, so let's pause for a first track, and it's sung appropriately by the soldiers. This is three professional soldiers, and they're singing Coming Home.
Every soldier who gave their life lives forever. Every soldier who fought the fight echoes in our minds. All the wounded and the brave, the ones God couldn't save, we salute your courage. Coming home with pride,
coming home with pride,
coming home with heads held high,
heads held high,
coming home from lands afar, coming home,
coming home
to your arms. All those heroes defend our flag will live on forever. All the heroes, both young and old, that soldier on to unknowns, from across this changing world, we live in the hope that you come back home. Coming home.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM. with me, Alec Noble, and I'm interviewing Paul Coffey, who's a veteran. Paul, can you explain something to folk who've not been in military service, what it means, the camaraderie in the armed forces?
Yeah, it's very hard to explain comradeship within the armed forces and across the armed forces, because we all have to work together at some stage. There is always a lot of rivalry, but when required to come together, we do. We do so objectives can be met. It's like we'll meet to do a job. We have to get on. We do get on. We get the job done, and we may never meet again. There's an old saying, for those who've served comradeship, there is no explanation is required. For those who have never served, no explanation is possible. But while serving, we are given the skills to help each other and to watch each other's backs. There is a language or banter that brings veterans together, and it also helps break down the barriers. A lot of us have shared various experiences that civvies may not understand, and would definitely not understand the humour, some of which can be quite black, but it has helped us get through some very difficult times.
Is it because of the difficult times that it makes you closer?
It does. We rely on each other's professional abilities. We are a cog, so to speak. We all have our different role to play within getting objectives achieved.
Yeah, the fact you depend upon each other is important.
It is very important. And a lot of the military, if not all the military, are very professionally trained to do their job, and they slot together quite well to get a job done. And then when we come apart again, a way to do a different job.
The people in the army sometimes feel closer to their fellow soldier than they do to their families or friends back home.
Family and friends are very important, because that's your anchor on sanity in some cases. Mm-hmm. The working alongside your comrades, it's okay working alongside them professionally, but you can have too much of a good or a bad thing.
Well, let's pause for the soldiers singing again, appropriately, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother."
Where, who knows where?
noticed, Paul, that you served for 22 years in the Rimi, and it's now 25 years since you were decommissioned, but you're still more than ever, in fact, interested in helping veterans and doing things. Why is this fire of passion for veterans still burning so bright?
I wouldn't call it a passion. I left the army in 93, but I joined the Royal British Legion in Scotland and the Royal British Legion in Northern Ireland in 1988. And that's kept my interest going in the military and helping veterans. And at the end of the day, we are a veteran community within the greater community of the three towns. Most families, if they shake the family tree, will find a veteran or two fall out. There is a type of unwritten rule that veterans help each other, and there is a trust between us in the majority of the veterans community. Obviously, there are bad apples in every community, but when veterans get together, there is always advice and support offered. Even if it's just a cuppa or a pint, and of course, there's the banter. The veteran community is growing across the three towns, and those wishing to help is growing as well, which is good news. Being in a position to help or facilitate help is a privilege, which in most cases, a lot of us enjoy. A number of us are trained as mental health first aiders for the military community within the three towns. The Breakfast Club, the Armed Forces, give you its correct name, the Armed Forces and Veterans Breakfast Club. It's an offshoot of the Irvine Breakfast Club, which is part of the national breakfast clubs. Google them and you'll be surprised how many breakfast clubs there are in the UK. They've just set one up in Cumnock, there's one across in Dunoon. They're setting up all over the place because there is a need.
Tell us about the local one. When does it meet?
Right, the local one meets every morning, every Monday at 9:30 onwards. There's no cut-off time.
Does it meet?
It meets at the Melbourne CAF. Mm-hmm. What happened was that when I was going to the Irvine one, a lot of people were coming from the three towns. Now, I'd already been speaking to Elaine from the Melbourne Cafe, and she offered to allow us to run a trial to see if a Salkirk's one would take off. And that was before Christmas.
And has it taken off?
It has, immensely. And if people now who are in a situation where they want to help veterans come into the Melbourne CAF and offer their help, so many charities have come to
So if someone comes in, what do they do apart from having breakfast?
Right. Well, it's up to you. The banter soon breaks down the barriers. You get asked what you were in and expect some verbal abuse from that once you've declared what you were in. But mainly, it's friendly stuff.
It's quite informal.
Yes, you're made part of the family straight away.
Right.
You get a free cuppa, so you can just have the free cuppa, or you can stay and have yourself a breakfast, which you must pay for.
Uh-huh. Okay. And out of that meeting, do things mushroom, develop into other things?
They do. A lot of people have similar interests. It's a release for a lot of people. They can talk about stuff that they used to do. It brings people out of isolation, which is one of the main things that we are hoping to do. Isolation is very bad for a lot of people, including veterans.
And you were telling me earlier that you can refer them on to other organisations as appropriate.
Yeah.
What sort of organisations would be appropriate?
Well, we have Veterans First Point, which seems to be a gateway to a lot of help. And now this isn't just a mental help or physical help. It could be the welfare, it could be to do with your housing.
Practical help.
Yes, yeah, very much so. And because all these people came to speak to us, a lot of people now are involved in this and they can pass on information, the best sources to go to. But the first thing to do is register with Veterans First Point in Irvine.
Right, can we pause here for a little Catherine Jenkins?
Thank you.
Well, Paul, could you say a little more about the particular issues for veterans you were touching on there?
Yeah, there are numerous issues that can affect veterans, as it can affect all of us. We now, through the different organisations, can get assistance from numerous agencies that are available. But the major issues include, it's probably one of the main ones, is isolation. This can lead to dependencies on drink and drugs, which obviously leads to crime, can lead to jail, homelessness, and a lot worse than that. Families, don't forget, suffer this as well. There are disabled veterans, whether it be a physical or mental disability, and post-traumatic stress disorder is a challenge in all walks of life, but especially with veterans, young and old. There are many triggers which will set this off, which could be triggered many years after the incident that's caused the PTSD. For those leaving the military, resettlement may fall short in identifying any underlying problems that people may have. For instance, a debatable government survey in 2015 states that 23% of veterans living in the UK suffer with depression or bad nerves, and 11% of the veterans community suffer or have suffered with mental illness, panic attacks, and phobias. Around 56 veterans have committed suicide this year up to October. That's a disgraceful number. But this is a questionable figure. Those who suffer self-harm are not identified as veterans, then they are missed out of any statistics.
I'm just wondering, as you're talking, do more soldiers die of post-traumatic stress disorder than do on the battlefields these days?
I wouldn't say die, but the...
Well, there's suicides there, 56 suicides.
Yeah.
How many soldiers died in the last 12 months in active service?
Well, that's it.
Probably less.
Yeah, and it's not being treated. The causes could be various. It could be post-traumatic stress disorder. It could be brought on by the fact is that they're in isolation and they can't see a way out of it.
Yeah.
The problems they may have led to losing the families and all the rest of it. But these are statistics.
These are people behind the statistics.
That's it. In an ideal world, the statistics should be zero.
Yes.
But it is a fact. But what we have to do is let veterans know that whatever is the problem, they are not alone.
Yes, and that's a cue for our next song, because it's the Military Wives. We've been talking about the individual armed service personnel, but they all have families, friends and people around them. So here's the Military Wives, wherever you are.
Across both time and space,
wherever you are.
So, Paul, I'm afraid our holy half hour is catching us up here. We haven't much time left, but have you any last comments you'd like to share with us? How can we help the veterans in particular?
Well, first of all, make the veteran and the families aware that there is a lot of help out there and it's not that far away, no matter what the problem. Veterans First Point, or VIP, has been set up with the veterans and the National Health Service. The nearest office is in Irvine and it's 12 to 14 Bridgegate. The telephone number is 310-400. That's 310-400. So if you are a veteran or part of his or her family, get on the radar and register, even if you don't need help now. If your challenge is isolation, please join us at one of the breakfast clubs and let your GP know that you are a veteran. The parade, I'm not going to say too much about it because we've got a few surprises. It is a lot of work, but you people make it worthwhile, and it is a privilege for me to, and an honour for me to take the annual remembrance parade in Saltcote St Stephenson. So it is a community parade. You are part of the community. You are the community, so I hope to see you there. If you have any medals from relatives who are no longer with us, please wear them. But the last thing I'd like to say is that finally, can I say that if you are a veteran or a family of a veteran, whether he or she, whether you are a he or a she, if you are the veteran's family, please wear your medals if you can. Wear them with pride. Veterans, with medals or not, are welcome to join the parade, even if you're not part of a veterans organisation. My last word to veterans though, there is a lot of help out there, new help, so if you are suffering, please reach out. But please remember, you are not alone.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Paul, for coming and sharing these things with us. May God bless you in the great work that you're doing. You do a lot on the Remembrance Sunday parade that we see as the parade marshal. But you also obviously work all year round doing so many things. So thanks for that and God bless. I'll leave you now with Catherine Jenkins again. This is Hymn to the Fallen.